League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. A bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad day, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live at the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Appalachian, right across the river to the woods from our granny's upstairs right now before she goes to bed, snapping big old five footers of Da Vinci OG in New York City. The Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags. The Brady Travis and kind of fashion shake it up. Should be all my friends and come around. Fuck the party up. Rats on the west side. Bed bugs uptown. What a mess. This town's a town. And my brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should be shake it. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High tonight. And I got to tell you, Carver High, the Yankees will lose four in a row. And they're getting their ass beat right now, 5-1 in the bottom of the ninth in the boogie down. And Toronto beat them again. And they did it with a variation of long balls tonight. The real story coming out of that game, though, is Gerrit Cole left the game with hamstring tightness. And, I mean, the way they've melted down against Baltimore, losing 2 of 3, and now 2 straight to the Jays, who've won, it'll be 8 of 9 and 5 in a row. I mean, you have to start thinking negatively, if you ask me, about the Yankees and, frankly, the Red Sox as well, the way they're playing. And the Blue Jays are playing the best baseball right now, and there's, you know, I guess, what, 2.5 weeks left in the season?
Yeah, just about 2.5, 3 weeks to go. And there's no doubt the Blue Jays are playing better than both of them right now. And, I mean, the way the Yankees are going, the Blue Jays might catch them by Thursday night. I mean, they're going to be, after tonight, they're going to be 2 back in the loss of the Yankees. They're actually going to pull even in the loss column with the Red Sox. So this nightmare continues for the Yankees here in the Bronx the next couple days. Toronto might lead their tied for the first wild card, not just the second.
Can you believe that they actually won 13 games in a row and then, since that 13-gamer, they, you know, I think when they lost, after the 13-gamer, they lost 3 in a row, right?
Well, they and four then, in a row. Four in a row. Two to Oakland, 2 to Anaheim. They won that last game to salvage a game in Anaheim, and then they came home and lost 2 out of 3 to Baltimore. Now they've lost 2 in a row to Toronto, so 8 out of 10 altogether.
So ever since the 13-game winning streak, they've been a disaster.
Yes, exactly.
Can you even believe it? How do you win 13 in a row?
Well, look,
crumble.
Here's the thing, and I know that a lot of people probably got a little sucked back in when they won the 13 games in a row. And really, it was a little bit before that, too, because they were playing good baseball from about July 4th on. They had a solid 6 to 8 weeks of ball in them. But, I mean, they were that same team. You know, they were the team we saw in April, May, and June that was awful on a lot of nights. And it seems like they've come back a little bit here.
I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. We welcome in our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map, Radio Network Sports Byline, USA Armed Forces Radio. It's Rel on the Bench on a Tuesday night with Carver High running it. So now I have the White Sox and A's going out of the ashtray. And it's 1-0 White Sox here in the bottom of the first. And the A's will get a sac fly, tie it up at ones as Harrison scores. And, you know, it's amazing to me, you know, what happens with baseball once football starts, right? Like, nobody cares about it. Well, I mean, the minute college football started, you know, people lost interest in it. And then, by the way, Olsen had that RBI. So, you know, now that the NFL's starting in two nights, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The only thing that will salvage baseball is the playoffs, right? Between now and the playoffs, you know that everyone that's a huge baseball fan is going to love the 2.5 weeks that are left in the sense of who's going to win those wild cards, because everything else has been decided, right? So it comes down to wild cards, and that's what purists are going to watch and care about and talk about and live in that moment. And then all these teams are going to be playing under, you know, severe distress, you know, pressure. You know, obviously the Yankees are crumbling. They can't beat the Orioles. I mean, you remember when we were on Coast to Coast and you said, the difference between the Yankees and the Rays are the Rays beat the Orioles 18 out of 19.
Yep.
That's the difference. The Yankees can't beat the Orioles, the frickin' Orioles, and the Rays basically go to the bathroom on them. I mean, honestly. So I'm telling you, all that's left is wild card. So once football starts, pro football Thursday night, and this Sunday when that happens, I mean, you'll be lucky if you get anyone to even watch those wild card one game playoffs. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's Pharrell on a bench. Carver High and I dealing with all kinds of stuff going on around us. There's just massive activity.
Yeah.
I got all people like, are there people dropping like flies everywhere?
Yeah. Yeah. There are. It's tough, man. There's a lot happening, but
so Mafia had like some kind of death in his family, his wife's family. And then, one of our buddies that we called to do the show, he had multiple people pass away within days of each other. And I was like, whoa, I don't want any part of that.
No, I told him, you know, all good, bro. He's like, I'm sorry, you know, I want to come on. He's like, you know, I got maybe Thursday. And I was like, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I said, just, you know, we'll figure it out.
Maybe deal with all that first.
Yes, that's what I said. That's what I said. I said, it's all good, brother. We're good to go. You worry about that. But he's excited for the Buck game on Thursday night. So.
Well, we're going to get into that in a minute. I just want to, at the very least, give these scores. Dodgers lead the Cardinals 5-2 in the eighth, top of the eighth. Mets 8-4 on the Marlins, bottom eight in Miami. Speaking of which, when is this Jeter induction? Like this week?
This is really silly how they're doing this year. Like, you remember how they'd always have like that like weekend in July in Cooperstown where they'd make like a whole weekend out of it? Like, they're not doing that this year. I guess they're just like, you know, parachuting these guys in like tomorrow or something to do their Hall of Fame induction. It's either tomorrow or the next day. It has to be tomorrow. They can't be doing it the same night as the NFL. They're not that stupid. I know they're dumb, but they're not that dumb.
It's tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Oh, Jesus. In the afternoon?
Yeah, it's 11 a.m. tomorrow at All Stars.
I mean, honestly.
Hall of Fame coverage. And I don't know who's getting in. I know Jeter is.
I am interested in hearing his speech, just because he was so, he had absolutely zero personality when he was a player, that I'm interested to see if he kind of opens up the lid a little bit here at the Hall of Fame induction. I doubt it, but
isn't he the same guy now running the Marlins?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
He's the mystery man.
The mystery man. Know. Yeah, you could say that.
I mean, he's a mystery. No one knows anything about him. He just doesn't play the game. He doesn't get into opening up to the media about anything. He's as bland as vanilla, and that's it. And he, you know, he handles his business, and he doesn't tell anybody, show his cards to anybody. Doesn't say what he's doing ever.
So this tomorrow night is for the 2020 class, which is Jeter, Larry Walker, Ted Simmons, and Marvin Miller.
Well, that is as dull as it could be.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Jeter's the only thing. He's the only one worth the price of admission. No offense to the others, but you have to admit, no one cares about those other people.
No.
I mean, I know I'm not even being mean. Like, Larry Walker, he was a really good player. There's no denying it. Ted Simmons, great catcher, and then Marvin Miller mattered for sure. But, you know, unless you're old like me, I still got game though, son. All I know is that Marvin Miller, he mattered. Everyone that's my age knows who Marvin Miller is, but yeah. No one born after 1980 knows who that guy is. You know that's true, right?
Yes, that's 100% true.
Well, you know what's great about our show is, whether it's Coast to Coast or this one, is we really don't spend a whole lot of time, you know, BSing people. We just come right out with it, and we just tell it like it is, and that'll be the end of it. There's no other discussion. Like, even on the show today, you know, the quarterback at Florida State, right? Like, Travis, like, he sucks. Mackenzie Milton's better. End of discussion. What else is there to say? Are we going to sit here and debate this? The guy that went in and threw three picks as the starter didn't, he looked like he was lost. Like they couldn't find him, like a lost puppy. And then the other guy comes in and brings him right back in the game and they go to overtime. I think there's no decision to be made. Right? I'm not going to sit around and sugarcoat any of this stuff. So as far as Derek Jeter goes, I guess I'll keel over if he shows some personality, because he never has.
No, and I think that that's the thing to look for tomorrow, is if he actually opens up a little bit about some things, because he really did. Remember when in the year that he was retiring, he did the dopey thing on HBO, where like they followed him around for a day, and it was like pulling teeth to get him. You know, they did like the interview with him in his apartment. You know, he's got like that big 35th floor high rise in Manhattan looking out over the city. And I don't know. It was just so weird and hollow. It's just so weird and hollow. Like, it was just, I don't know. But I am interested to hear what he says tomorrow.
I was there the night he had 3,000 hit. And I remember it because I was at Yankee Steak having dinner, right? And it was like a birthday dinner for 34C or something. And he had the hit that night. We were there. And his last game, right, he played, he had a walk-off hit.
I had tickets to that game, but I was on honeymoon. I did not go.
Wow. So you're telling me that you got to admit, though, there's just no getting around it, how great he was as a Yankee.
Oh, no, definitely not. Absolutely. He's in the, you know, I think in the 6 to 10 when you talk of all time, you know, top 10 Yankees of all time. I think he's in that conversation in the back end of the top 10. There's no doubt. He did a lot of winning. I mean, a lot of winning. People outside of New York love to, you know, they want to poke holes in him. Well, he wasn't a
he'd be an average nobody on any other team, and he, you know, his WAR, defensive WAR, was bad, and he's not as good a
Five rings.
Yes.
Five rings. I mean, my God, can you imagine?
He had huge moments in winning those five rings. Like, yeah, he might hit 290 during the year with, you know, the numbers might not look great. But he had some huge moments in those years that they won. Huge.
Enormous. The guy was so clutch, it wasn't even funny. Do they have a stat for clutch? They should.
Yeah.
They should have one for clutch, because he was. That's the definition of who that guy was. He was clutch. Yep. Every time in the biggest moments, he came up big. I mean, like nothing you've ever seen. Meanwhile, at the end of his career, he was like a slap hitter, right?
Right.
And but when he was in his prime, and when he was in those winning years in the mid-90s, you know, I mean, this guy, are you kidding me? He was insane. He came up big every time. I mean, it was just inevitable that he was going to do something enormous. He did it every time. I have never seen them do this before. On September 8th, they're doing a Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah, because they...
the 21 guys. When is that happening?
There are no 21 guys. Nobody made it in this year.
Oh, no one?
Nobody got in. Nobody had the 75%.
Oh, that's right. But how about the NFL? They only let in about 100 every season.
The NFL's tough.
I mean, honestly, it's so embarrassing.
They're all embarrassing now, honestly. The basketball, the hockey, the football, the baseball, all four of them are embarrassing.
God. And then how about retiring numbers? Before long, there won't be any numbers left. All right, so as far as these games go, I want to get through it. Braves 7-5 on the Nationals in the bottom of the eighth. Reds lead the Cubs 4-3, bottom nine. Nobody on, one out. Brewers 8-0 over the Phillies, middle of the eighth. Mariners lead the Astros 3-2, top seven. Giants lead the Rockies 8-1 at Coors, bottom five. White Sox A's 1-1, bottom two. Rangers, Diamondbacks, bottom three, scoreless. Angels, Padres, after one, scoreless. Pirates beat the Tigers 3-2 in front of 8,000 at PNC. Jays beat the Yankees 5-1. They won 5 in a row, 8 of 9. Rays 12-7 over the Red Sox. And they beat them again.
I mean,
Twins,
honestly.
3-0 over the Indians, and the Orioles over the Royals 7-3 in front of 4,000 at Camden.
How nice
embarrassing
job.
Are these baseball crowds? I just rattled off.
And look, and that's being fair. Like that 4,000 that they showed there. I mean, it. I don't even think it was actually that. I mean, it looked like there was about 200 people in the seats. It was that bad out there. It really was.
You imagine, like my buddy's at the Pirate game. He went to the Pirate game tonight, and then Gunnar went to see Cole pitch, and then. He left in the fourth inning. So, and then, you know, he's not a Yankee fan at all. He doesn't like him. And for whatever reason, he hates him. And he told me the reason he hates him is because all his friends, 100% of his friends are gigantic Yankee fans, right? And they just never stop with it. Like the Yankees, Yankee this, Yankee that, all day, every day. And he just wants no part of it because he's, you know, a Pirate fan. And his team obviously sucks. And, I mean, the Pirates are 39 games under 500. I mean, you know you suck when you're that far back.
Now,
and there's no hope for the future. I mean,
Zero.
I mean, they have no money. They have no talent. They draft the catcher. Everyone thought they were going for the shortstop. They got the catcher. And all I know is, I mean, that kid's like, I'm so excited. What a great organization. Like, you must be tripping, kid. I mean, I'm glad they taught you to say the right thing when you got drafted, but you got drafted by, like, I mean, the bottom of the barrel. And I love them, too. I like the Pirates, always will, till I'm dead. But, you know, I've lived here for 22 years, and I've, you know,
and
I liked the Yankees when, even when I was a kid. I liked, I told you, my favorite player was George Brett, but my, I was fascinated with, you know, Greg Nettles, Reggie Jackson, it goes on and on, Guidry. I could sit here all day, like the old school Yankees, right? Thurman Munson, yeah,
the late 70s, all the guys. Yeah.
Listen, I even like Dave Winfield. I mean, I thought he was a badass, right?
He was.
But Mattingly, you know, it goes on and on. So I was, you know, I was a Billy Martin fan. I liked that he was crazy. And so when I was a kid, I liked him. Like, I rooted for the Yankees when they would, you know, play the Dodgers and in the World Series. And, you know, so then when I moved here, I've been here since, you know, the end of their run, right? So the year that I got here, they lost to Arizona in the World Series, right? And then I've been here ever since. I saw them win the 09 World Series, and that's it, right? But, I mean, as a kid, I always watched them. They were always important, and they were a big deal always, right? And so it's amazing to me how he hates them. Like, he just absolutely hates them. He doesn't like the Mets either, which is cool. Like, whatever. I don't tell my son who to be a fan of. He just kind of I did not brainwash him into being a Steeler fan or whatever, or the Penguins or any of that. He just saw me, you know, being fanatical about him. And that's all it took. I didn't force him to do anything. Like, he just saw me prancing around the room with a Stanley Cup over my head every spring. He knew something was up when he was little. He knew there was something going on with that team with the Penguin on its chest. And, you know, I'm always running around with a Stanley Cup. So he knew that they must be good, because he's always happy when they're on. And then, you know, when he got old enough, he became a fan. So he likes all the teams in Pittsburgh, and he's different from his friends. Like, they're all the same, right? Yankees, Giants, Knicks,
yeah,
you know, Rangers. They're all the same, these kids. And then there's this kid sticks out like a sore thumb wearing his, you know, a Barry Bonds jersey to the game tonight. I mean, he stands out like a sore thumb because he's different. He doesn't want to be like all of them. Fair enough, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. It's got to suck rooting for them. They never win.
Yeah, and the other bad part of it is, too, like, even in bad years like this, the Pirates end up having, like, one guy that sticks out, and then all that happens is, instead of building around him, they just end up trading him, like, for more garbage. You know, like this year, like, Frazier was having a great year, so what'd they do? They trade him to San Diego. And this guy Reynolds is having a great year for them, too. I'm sure in the offseason they'll find a way to get rid of him.
Yeah. Every player that does anything for him, they get rid of.
Yeah, they never build around anybody. It's just,
I've never seen anything like it. Like, that broke-ass owner of theirs, honestly. Yeah, he's nutting. These nuttings.
He's torture.
But I know that, and just everything about him makes me sick. Their GM, everything about them, their manager. How many people can even name the manager of the Pirates?
The dude with the huge beard. That's all I know him as. I don't even know his name, but he rocks that enormous beard.
I know his name.
Shelton? Shelton?
No one else knows his name.
Yeah, that's it.
No one knows him. I mean, it's just embarrassing. It's just so embarrassing. I will say this, though, like, from a standpoint of, like, I grew up hating the Mets, right? And so I've always hated them. I hate the Mets, the Phillies. I hate them. I'm not a Cubs fan. I don't like any of those teams. And it's very enjoyable for me to watch the like Mets actually be in first place the whole year and then still crumble and still fold like a tent at a campsite. I think they're like, there's nothing better for me than every year. Like my team sucks, but to watch everyone else's teams go down the drain is even better. Like, cause the Mets actually think they're supposed to be in the World Series every year. And then to watch them fold up camp and then, you know, pack it all in glad bags. And then the Cubs suck. The Phillies suck. I went to see the Phillies and I just kept my mouth shut sitting there. I just sat behind home plate, great seats, chilling the most. I'm just sitting there watching all these people get drunk and cheer on the Phillies. And I, you know, to me, it was like being in the enemy camp. I was there and I was like, I can't believe I'm sitting here. I hate these people. Literally hate them. And then I'm sitting there, you know, and they're all cheering for the Phillies. And I'd say the only thing I liked about that game was two things. Was Harper, watching him. He didn't do anything that night anyway. I think he had a double. And then no home runs or anything. But the guy that stole the show, as usual, was the Philly fanatic. he was better than the entire outfit, like the whole team, everything.
He's still as crazy as ever.
As crazy as ever. I mean, he is just
one of the legendary mascots of all time. I mean, hands down, one of the legendary mascots.
Like, so I asked a question of a guy sitting next to me at the game, and the guy figured out, obviously, he figured out who I was by just me opening my mouth. And I said to him, so who's better, the San Diego Chicken or the Philly Fanatic? And you know the answer to that question, Carver High. So I'm going to ask you, you know who's better, right?
I mean, in my eyes, it's the Philly Fanatic.
Ugh.
Here's why. Now, look, the San Diego Chicken has some great moments. But nothing can top when the Fanatic had that thing with Tommy Lasorda and got thrown. Oh, no, that was Yippee in Montreal. Remember he got Yippee thrown out of Olympic Stadium? But the Fanatic got Lasorda mad a couple times also.
Yeah, he did. But there is no one ever on the face of the earth better than the San Diego Chicken. Bar none. I mean, and remember, the Philly Fanatic actually, and I don't know the details, but I know they've changed guys like several times. The Fanatic in real life has been in some trouble.
Oh, yeah.
the guy in the suit has gotten busted for some freaky, creepy things. And they've changed the Fanatic several times. Same concept, though. Same guy, be crazy, blah, blah, blah. I don't know the background of the San Diego Chicken guy, and I don't know how many of them they've replaced over the years, but there was nothing. I have never seen anything even remotely close to the San Diego Chicken. Bar none. Bar none. The Chicken was way better than every Fanatic. I mean, stomped him. Perrell on a bench with Carver High running it. So I want to go back and start talking about all the college football from over the weekend, all right? And just kind of get into some of these teams. And then we'll talk about, you know, what they're doing this week.
Yeah.
Because I've got all that going on. I have, you know, obviously I go fishing for lines. And, you know, the best spreads that I can get my hands on, right? And I have, let's just say, hypothetically, I have, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's literally middle of the road. Like, I'd say I have less spreads than I want. You've seen it, right? The amount of spreads out are pathetic.
Right. Well, a lot of the games that involve the lesser runs of college football, they don't seem to get put up until, you know, like 48 hours before the game now. Whereas they only put the games involving two, you know, bigger teams out all week.
All right. Well, I don't have enough spreads of games, but you know, we can at least talk about who we think are going to win these games. Right. At the very least, the ones where we don't have a spread. But I mean, at the very least, I want to go back because we don't really have time on coast to coast to, you know, break down all these games.
Yeah, we blow through
here. Right. So, I mean, I guess, you know, we already went through all that, the Thursday nonsense where Ohio State kicked Minnesota's ass in the end. They did. Right. But let's just kind of pick it up on Saturday. That's all that matters. And then Notre Dame game and the Ole Miss game. I mean, the Ole Miss game, let's just start there. They kicked their ass. Corral's a good quarterback. I thought Louisville looked terrible in the game. They obviously don't matter. I mean, you just see it all like in that game right there. You play a good team, and you are that flat, that, you know, anemic, that pathetic. I mean, that's really all you need to know. That's who they are. That's it. That's who they are. They played a good team, and they did nothing against them. So now we know that Louisville, at best, is fair to Midland, right? Like, they're average at best. But are you buying that Ole Miss is good because you saw them whoop up on an average, fair to Midland Louisville team? Or am I right that I said today on Coast to Coast, I mean, Ole Miss is Ole Miss. They always end up losing games. They always end up losing in the SEC. I mean, it's inevitable because all these people that think that Lane Kiffin's team is going like 10-2 are tripping.
No, and that's the thing. They're going to lose games at some point. You know, they visit Alabama on October 2nd. Now, look, they'll be undefeated going into that game. That game that week will get a lot of push because Ole Miss the next 3 weeks is going to score a ton of points against Austin Peay and Tulane. You know, even though, listen, Tulane played well in Oklahoma, but, you know, they could get whacked that day against Ole Miss. But Ole Miss is going to go into that Alabama game probably undefeated, probably in the top 10 or 15, and they're going to get a lot of hype, and they'll probably get whacked because that's what Alabama does to you. You know, they take you to the woodshed. You know, they've got tough games. They got to play Texas A&M this year. You know, they play LSU. They play Auburn. The SEC West is a bear, and they score a ton of points. But I don't think that we got to see if their defense is improved or not, because last year their defense was awful. They got up so big on Louisville that it was almost second half, like call the dogs off time. And that's when Louisville started to actually move the football and scored a couple of touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So we don't know yet if their D is good.
Their schedule is so brutal.
Yeah.
And they go LSU at home, Auburn road, Liberty home.
Who's a good team?
And A&M home, because Liberty's no joke. I know everybody just hears Liberty and they think that's a joke. They are no joke. And so to squeeze them into that sandwich of LSU, Auburn, then the Liberty game, and then you got to come out of that and play A&M. I mean, they're going to play A&M in Oxford. They're going to lose.
They're going to lose a couple of these games. They're going to go 9-3. They're going to lose a couple of these games. They're going to go 9-3. You know, something like that. They're going to lose some games.
They're not beating Alabama.
No, they're definitely not beating Alabama.
I don't even think they'll beat LSU.
Yeah.
I think they'll lose at Auburn.
If LSU plays D like they did against UCLA the other night, they will beat LSU. They'll beat LSU if they're going to play D like that.
Yeah, that I don't think they'll play D like that. Listen, here's the deal. You know as well as I do, all that LSU cares about is SEC games. That's it. I know they wanted to win the game against UCLA in their opener. I know they thought they'd go out there and win. They didn't. Whoop-de-doo. They need to go home and get ready and play SEC games and win them. That's really what matters to them because they've already lost to UCLA. So, I mean, they would literally have to run the tables to make the playoff, and they won't even make it then.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
If they ran the table, that, you know, they'd have some good wins. They could, but they're not going to run the table. Their D's not good enough. They'll lose to Alabama. Florida's looking for revenge against them after they beat them in Gainesville last year. They play Texas A&M as well. They'll lose games. They're like Ole Miss. They're gonna go 9-3, somewhere in that ballpark.
So Notre Dame beat Florida State in overtime. Now they have Toledo. Then they have Purdue, both at home. Then they go to Madtown on September 25th at noon at Cameron
Chicago. Yeah, no, they play at Soldier Field that game.
That's is that where they're playing?
Yes, playing at Soldier Field.
Well, then Notre Dame will win.
Yeah. I saw enough from Cone the other night that I think that they're going to, you know, they could get their 10 wins this year. I was a little skeptical about Cone, but I really liked what I saw. They could go 10-2 this year. They'll beat Wisconsin, I think, in that game.
Can Cincinnati knock off Notre Dame in South Bend?
No. I'm selling. I don't think that they can. In fact, I think Cincinnati is going to lose to Indiana and Notre Dame. Lose to both of them.
And then do you think Notre Dame will lose in Blacksburg like North Carolina did?
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of the year, this is why you don't know until you get on the field. Everybody had Virginia Tech pegged as like a 500 team, not that good. And you saw on Friday night that at home, if they got some juice, they could play. That's not an easy game for the Irish going to Blacksburg. Not at all.
I think North Carolina gets their act together and turns their season around and goes to South Bend and beats Notre Dame.
No. They had some crazy stat like a couple weeks ago when the first preseason poll came out that every year for like 18 of the last 20 years, one team that started the preseason in the top 10 ended up not finishing in the top 25. That'll be North Carolina this year. They suck. They suck. They're not good.
They suck. So over the weekend, BYU beat Arizona in that Vegas kickoff classic, 24-16. Now they play at home against Utah this week. You heard me today. I like BYU in that game. Do you think Utah goes there to Lavelle Edwards and beats them?
The Holy War. I'm excited for this game. Here's the thing. I like BYU with the points at home. I really like them getting it. I mean, it's like 7 right now at some places. I like BYU getting the points, but I think Utah win the game. Utah's a good team.
We were on Nevada beating Cal.
Oh, what a win. I stayed up late for that one on Saturday night. Carson Strong with the big second half. Gets it done with the win in Berkeley. Proud of Nevada. The Wolfpack, baby.
Let's see. I'm looking at some of the. How about Montana beating Washington? Can you imagine? And some people thought that Washington was going to win the Pac-12.
Yeah. Take a walk.
A walk.
Awful loss.
A&M blew out Kent State 41-10. Now they moved up in the polls. Are they as good as everybody thinks they are?
We'll find out when they play Alabama. Right. That's the measuring stick for Texas A&M. Last year they beat everybody except Alabama. This year they'll probably beat everybody, and it's going to depend on if they beat Alabama or not.
They're playing at Colorado this week.
They're going to hammer Colorado. Colorado stinks.
They're playing at Mile High Stadium. That's where that game is.
Lay the lumber.
They're not playing them in Boulder. They're playing them in Denver. I think A&M wins that game. No problem.
They destroy them.
And then, let's see. I'm just looking at some of these other ones. Florida beat FAU easily. Now, Florida this week has South Florida on the road. They're laying 28 and a hook. South Florida sucks. I told you, when I watched them in their opener, I was all over NC State in that game. 45-0, they beat them.
Let me tell you, Florida really bothered me last week. I told you I was laying the 23.5 with them against FAU. And they gave up a couple of garbage touchdowns in the fourth quarter for the backdoor cover for FAU. I think Florida looked very good. I think that when they play a good team, like 2 weeks from now, when they play Alabama, they're going to get really beat up. They're going to dance on USF this week. They're going to get beat up by the Crimson Tide the week after that.
What do you think of Texas Tech blowing out Houston on the road?
They were down 14-0, too, in the first quarter. Houston had a 14-0 lead in that game, and the Red Raiders came all the way back. Your boy Tyler Shook. Tyler Shook me all night long. The big comeback for the Red Raiders. Good for them. I think they're going to be a good team this year. Like that, they're listen, not going to win the conference, but I think they're going to be better than people think. I think they'll be tricky
South
for those
Carolina teams. Opened up 46-0 over Eastern Illinois, and they used the grad assistant at quarterback. Now they're going to East Carolina, and they were actually getting 2 points today.
Wow.
Why would they have trouble with East Carolina?
South Carolina's really bad. I know they're the SEC team going to play East Carolina. They're not a good football team. But that is a short line.
Mm. East Carolina sucks, too.
Yeah.
They suck worse than South Carolina, honestly. If they don't have better athletes in Columbia, South Carolina, than they do at Eastern Carolina.
Yeah, they should. You know,
there is no way. So USC pounded San Jose State 30-7. Everybody thought, as well as myself, that San Jose State was better than they were. They were getting 15. They didn't cover.
Hung around for
Texas
a half.
Laying
that was
at
it.
9 against Louisiana. Texas has a big game this week at Arkansas. Do you think? Because you heard me today. I'm taking them. I'm taking Arkansas in favor.
Taking the Razorbacks.
Why not?
What's it at right now? What do they have the What do they have the line at?
It's 6.5.
Oof.
I got Arkansas at 7 when it opened up.
I'm going to think about that one because you don't want to get sucked in by Texas after 1 week. You know, they look good last week, right. But you don't want to be a believer yet. You probably want to see a little bit more before you start buying all that Sark juice right out of the gate. You don't want to buy it
too
quick.
Well, that's why I'm doing it. I just don't believe it. Like, I bet on them. I laid 9. I hit. Now I don't think they'll win. I think they're going to have growing pains. He's not winning every game he coaches, is he? All right, Pharrell on the bench, we got a lot more college games to talk about. All right, so for all events, today we talked about Iowa State and Iowa. That game's this week in Ames, and Iowa State's favored. And I know Campbell's got a really good team, but I said today I'm on Iowa with that secondary of theirs. Indiana couldn't do anything against them. I mean, what makes you think Iowa State can do anything against them? I know some people believe that they're better than Iowa or better than Indiana. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe Iowa State is better. I mean, I know they've had a really good year last year. Fair enough. Are you buying them at home in Ames over Iowa?
I haven't bought the Iowa State stuff the last 2 years. I know that they had some impressive wins last year. They beat Oklahoma. They routed Oregon in that Fiesta Bowl. I'm not buying this one. This is obviously an intense rivalry. I'm on the Hawkeyes here, especially catching a couple of sticks. I just think that they're going to beat them. I think I was reading today, first time in the history of this rivalry that both teams are ranked for the game, and they're both ranked in the top 10, 9 and 10 in the new poll today.
Right. I want to look at the because they were laying against Northern Iowa. I hit that spread. I was getting
1.5. Yeah, only won by 6, 16-10 game.
I hit that bet, and then I hit that Missouri game. I had Central Michigan in 14. I covered that, Missouri to win, Mississippi State to win, Louisiana Tech plus 23. I mean, I make people a fortune, even on crappy games. It's just unbelievable. It really is. PharrellOnTheBench.com, making people a fortune. I'm like a giver to the community. We got another hour on the bench.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field.
Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.